been a tough couple of decades for public libraries. Those bastions of books we got to know as kids ran into tough times as budgets tightened for cities and counties in our part of the world. We watched as libraries closed in several communities. In some small towns, they never reopened. In bigger towns, they opened again, but with a different set of operating conditions. So it is in Josephine County. Grants Pass and surrounding communities still have libraries, but they are not run by county government as they once were. A vote to create a separate library taxing district, which Jackson County passed in May, failed in Josephine County in November. So what now? That is the what next question. And to answer that, we have with us two members of the Josephine Community Libraries operation. Kate Lasky is the executive director. Kate, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. And Pat Fahey is the board president. Pat, welcome to you.
Oh, thank you, Jeffrey.
So give us a bit of history. And Pat, I'll start with you. The libraries closed as a county entity more than 7 years ago. Is that right?
That's right. We reopened as a private nonprofit after that. And we've been successfully operating it since then. Diminished hours and, you know, diminished funding, but actually it's been all volunteer operated. And that's how we're able to do it. We have hundreds of volunteers that spend countless man hours of work out there doing the stuff that takes to operate a library. And they're kind of the heart and soul of what makes it work. And the community has responded. You can walk into those libraries any day that they're open, and you'll find just a whole host of people utilizing the services, checking out books, utilizing the space. It's actually, I kind of call it the community glue. It's one of those institutions that make us a community.
Now, it didn't happen overnight. As I look at the timeline, it looks like it took the better part of 2 years and then some, I think, to get the libraries open again after the county closed them.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The county commissioners at the time gave us a challenge. You know, they said basically if the community will show their support by raising, I think it was $300,000, and Kate, step in here if I'm
get
it wrong.
Oh, that's correct.
They will match that funds. And so the community did. So that was the seed money. That's what's got us started. And since then, it's been unqualified success from the numbers point of view. The numbers being the number of patrons that have, number of library cards that we have out there. And to best characterize that, I think Kate would do a better job saying, you know, what has been our growth in the last four or five years?
I would say 25%. Is a good fair number, and you know, as you go through the years, that percentage kind of goes down. But we increase our cardholders by about 350 every month, and that's consistent over 4 to 5 years.
Now, I forget, Kate, were you living in the area when the operation started up, or were you hired from outside?
I wasn't living here. I got to move to Grants Pass to a community with an open library because of folks who opened it with my family in 2009, September of 2009.
And so how many paid staffers are there in addition to yourself? I mean, from what Pat's saying, it's a heavily volunteer operation.
It is heavily volunteer. In fact, it's about 500 hours a week in volunteer labor. And all of the paid positions, the majority of them being part-time, I believe there's a total of 15, and two of those positions are grant-funded.
By grants from where?
By the Library Services and Technology Act through the Oregon State Library, we have a project called the Expanding Opportunities Program that allows for a 40-hour-a-week librarian to teach folks in Josephine County all about their digital library services.
So what are the differences in the ways the libraries operated now, in addition to hours, versus how they operated under the county?
Oh, the diminished hours, I think, would be the biggest difference. But before, I believe they had 48 hours a week. And then I believe in the 1970s, they were even at 70 hours a week. Now we're at 24 hours a week at Grants Pass, and then less than 13 hours a week at our three rural libraries in Wolf Creek, Williams, and Cave Junction.
Is it sort of a staggered system where the staff that staffs Grants Pass, when it is closed, can staff the other libraries?
Not so much. The communities are very unique, as you probably know, in Jackson County. And folks who live in those communities have part-time positions as branch managers.
We're talking about Josephine Community Libraries with Kate Lasky, the executive director, and Pat Fahey, the board president. There is a set of decisions to be made here in the failure of the levy to create a library taxing district, as Jackson County did. It failed in Josephine County in November. Join us on the exchange with questions or comments or observations. 800-838-3760 across the listening area. 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Was the library district plan very similar to what Jackson County approved in May, Pat?
The dollar amount was quite a bit less. If I remember right, Jackson County came in at 60 cents per thousand, and mm-hmm. Josephine County was 39. The campaign was run with the same set of kind of operating procedures, where almost a stealth campaign. You work on mobilizing your supporters, and you try and stay out of the media as much as you can. This was a little bit of an unusual campaign for us, because if you drove around Josephine County, there'd be hundreds of signs that talk about the library, but nowhere did it say vote. I mean, it would just comment that libraries, yes, and that was a very structured idea. As a voter, you always get inundated with people trying to coerce you into voting for something that perhaps you're not all that in favor of. This was one about reaffirming what the values that the services the libraries actually give you, and just make sure you remember those. And it was, I think it was very successful. Obviously not quite successful enough, but I think it brought to the attention that, yeah, the libraries are important to us.
Successful, I understand, more successful certainly within the city of Grants Pass, where you had a positive overall number, but outside the city limits of Grants Pass, it sounds like it really was not nearly as successful.
Yeah, if you talk about turnout, turnout and how the results, the city of Grants Pass was roughly 55 to 45 in favor of the library. It was almost reversed outside the county, outside the city of Grants Pass. Of the 40, I think there's 40 precincts in Josephine County, about 14 were in favor of the library district, and 10 or 11 of those were inside the city of Grants Pass. So if you look at it, basically the city of Grants Pass, the 10 or 11 precincts there were in favor. There's one that was marginally against. You go to Cave Junction, they were in favor of it. Kirby was in favor of it. Williams was in favor of it. And Wolf Creek was just barely opposed by 8 or 9 votes. And what that says, to me anyway, was that places that we had an impact, you know, that there is an institution there called the library, and people had a chance to see what it was and what it did, they felt good about it. As you get out to the more rural parts of the county, they didn't see the value of it as much as those people that lived next to a library did. And I think that that's a challenge that we're going to work with later.
Sounds like distance from the library was a big factor in yes or no votes.
Well, yeah, you could look at it like that, and I think that's probably a good indication.
You had to know this was going to be a tough sell in a county that continues to vote no on even funding the jail and deputies and things like that.
Yeah, and I guess we did. And I was involved in the May public safety levy and that failed by 500 something.
That was the last time we talked to you.
Yeah, right? Last time we talked. I'm not sure if I'm going to take any more interviews from you, Jeffrey, because usually it's in the wake of something bad. But
it's going to change.
It's going to change.
It will, right? Got to have hope.
So let me talk about that, Kate. So the morning after the election, and it became clear very quickly, I think, with the first round of counts on election night, where it was going. So how do you go to work the next morning? How do you keep all the people still pumped up that there's a future for Josephine Community Libraries when the opportunity to get back on a firmer financial footing has eluded you once again?
You know, it was amazing the next day, because the volunteers were there. They showed up for work the same way they showed up every other day. And I think that's where the heart of the library is, and that's where the energy comes from, is the citizens who want to have a library. And so my role is to support them. I don't get to fall down the next day. I have to get back up. And yeah, the financial situation is extremely challenging, and there's going to be some pretty serious review of our model over the next 5 to 6 months. In the meantime, we're serving the same families that have been coming into the library and new families that have been coming into the library. I believe that it is that mission of providing library services and really early literacy programming for birth to 3 years old, where there is no other resource in our community. It's heartening. It was a tough day. I won't lie to you about that. It was very hard. But I think we all of us, our branch managers, our fiscal coordinator, our librarian, we all came to a resolve that we will carry on, even if not with the hours we need.
Kate Lasky and Pat Fahey are with Josephine Community Libraries. Kate is the executive director. Pat is the board president. You can join us as we talk about libraries in Josephine County or more broadly about libraries in general and their value to society today, which is something that often comes up in these discussions mm-hmm. as we talk about funding and things like votes to create library taxing districts, as Jackson County did, as Josephine County just failed to do. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760. That's anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Kate, what has it been like to try to keep up with technology when you're functioning with as limited a budget as you've had? And I know that there are the rentals of virtual books, paperless books, all the things that go on now that are expected of libraries. How have you managed to keep up with the information technology end of things, given the budget constraints?
Well, we have grants to support technology, probably more so than most public library systems, simply because of our funding model.
Oh, because you are a nonprofit, you're eligible for more?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know if we're eligible for more. I think we're scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
And we, and we seek out more grants because we have to. And we've really benefited from the support of the Four Way Community Foundation in Josephine County for our technology. But in terms of how to keep up or what other libraries are doing, Jackson County's library systems have a much better and fuller resources of online digital resources than Josephine County. And particularly ebooks and some of the databases like the music, downloading music for free, I think is more available in Jackson County than it is in Josephine. It's hard to describe to people what they don't have, what they don't know that they don't have. It's been a constant challenge, especially in the virtual world. It's very challenging.
So are people asking for things that you're unable to provide at this point? Or
ebooks, most certainly. Mm-hmm. We're part of the consortium for the state of Oregon with the Oregon Online ebook collection. It has about 35,000 titles, and I believe Jackson County's in that as well. And it's just not as robust as it could be. We could be purchasing our own ebooks and allowing 14 checkouts per book, like Multnomah County, the star of Oregon.
So what has been happening with the ability to acquire regular books and all the other things that are central to a library? I mean, I imagine you've had to really cut everything right to the bone there as well.
It's true. I'm looking at Pat right now because he feels it as the board chair. We allow for 10% of the donations we receive are allocated towards purchasing books, which is a scalable model to most library systems in the United States, which gives us a very limited budget out of the general fund. So we seek out grants, and we recently received a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation for $25,000 to purchase books, but it's just not enough. And Pat, you might want to...
Yeah, it's you got to figure out why people use the library, and books are a major component, both ebooks and the traditional books. And if the collection gets too old or too out and or non pertinent to what people are looking for anymore, then you start losing people coming in. Now that's one of the primary services, you know, a core service of the library. So if you can't keep up with that, then you get to be less relevant, and it's kind of a downward spiral. We as an institution have done pretty good about going out and garnering the grants and actually soliciting private collections too. You know, people who, there's a lot of us, and I'm speaking, I'm part of myself, that go out and we'll do the Barnes & Noble thing and we'll buy a new book and we'll read it. And it's a shame when we just leave it on the shelf. So at least in our household, what we've done is, and Kate will probably laugh because she knows what I'm talking about. We'll bring down 30, 40, 50 books, and they're all pretty new titles. And if you're into a certain genre, that's what you bring in. So I can tell you right now, Josephine Community Libraries is probably one of the best alternative history collections that you can find.
I wonder where they got that.
I don't
from.
Know. I don't.
All right, that's the genre we were
yeah, yeah,
talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, we're fortunate that is it enough? No, you get behind the curve. If the scalable model is 10%, for a community our size, it should really be more like 20 or 30% for a real dollars, real kind of books you get. So what happens is that a new book will come out, and I like to use 50 Shades of Grey because everybody knows that book. Whether or not you read it, it doesn't matter, but you're aware of the book. So there's enough interest in that book that people end up waiting a long time to get the book. Now, what I'm saying is that if you had more money or more money for a collection, you may be able to have a copy of the book or multiple copies of the book to make it more available. So it just makes it less available for those patrons that may want to use it.
We are talking again to Pat Fahey and Kate Lasky, both involved with Josephine Community Libraries. Kate's the executive director. Pat is the board president. Join us on the exchange as we talk about libraries generally, Josephine County in specific. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I was looking for the current numbers on your yellow envelope campaign. Pat, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, you know, you walk away from a failed effort at a district, and the world doesn't stop. You need to continue fundraising. So one of the thoughts we had was the Yellow Envelope campaign was a way to a tangible representation to put in people's hands a reminder that, hey, there is an institution called Josephine Community Libraries, and if you supported us during the campaign and you felt strongly enough to say yes on a ballot, that was an obligation, or it would have been an obligation for X amount of money based on the value of your property. But we're urging people that if you voted yes, you felt strongly enough about the library, take whatever that tax that would have supported the district and put it in the yellow envelope that we have provided through the local newspaper and send it back in. And so far, we've been pretty successful at that.
So far, so good. I think we're hoping for 15,474 folks to send those yellow envelopes, and I think we probably should have printed more. But
well, I just flipped the lid. 15,474 is the number of people who voted yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Times $10, you could easily get to $150,000.
Yeah, we really could, and it little bit goes a long way if everyone's working together, I think is the idea of that. And so far, we've raised $104,000. And we're on our way to our $150,000 needed by December 31st. And it's interesting because a lot of folks are saying, well, why did you ask for so much in the district? 39 cents per 1,000 would have been $2.6 million per year. And now you just need $150,000. That's just to keep the doors open. That's just to pay the utilities. That doesn't include the books. It's a comparative advantage problem where we would have had so much more if we had had a library district. We'd be able to do interlibrary loan with Jackson County,
right?
Really broadening our customer service.
At the moment, what are you limited to? Just what Josephine County's own collection is?
We're not a good neighbor to do interlibrary loan with such a limited budget. Hmm. So we're limited to just what we have, and we had a great funding year in the 1970s. So we have some excellent tennis books from 70s, but we really need to upgrade and bring our community into the 21st century. And that's the struggle.
Is there a set of numbers that librarians work with, like the average age of the collection or anything like that? I mean, something that is a top-of-mind number all the time? And if so, where does that stand for what you have there?
You know, we're not even close to that. It's like probably not even part of our conversation. The standard that I'm familiar with is really that 10% of your overall budget. So if we had $2.6 million, that would be $260,000 spent just on collection, which is music and movies and books. And we're very much not close to that. So really a healthy collection, you also weed out books that are no longer relevant. SAT from the 80s, and it could just goes on and on. And we aren't doing that at the rate that needs to be done.
How then do you counter the frequent objection from people who will vote no on anything involving libraries that you don't need libraries anymore because we have the internet now?
Well, a lot of people don't have the internet, I think, is how I counter that. When I look at the 14 computers with internet access in the Grants Pass branch, and they're crowded every day with folks who are doing everything from applying for jobs to just communicating with their families and sharing pictures on Facebook. I mean, it just runs the gamut. And I
always say, if you really want to know how relevant it is, just go down there. If you show up I like to use this example a lot. If you go to the Cave Junction branch, Cave Junction is a relatively economically depressed community, and you show up there when it opens, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll see a line of people sitting outside waiting to come in. And they're generally middle-aged guys. And the doors open, and they proceed to go in, and they go to the 11 workstations they have there. And you say, gee, what are they doing? You know, why are they just doing Google searches for whatever? Almost all of them are job apps. You're obviously fulfilling some need in the community that nobody else is fulfilling. If you go to the Grants Pass branch almost any day, it's full. We schedule, you know, we have some meeting rooms in the Ben Bones room and some other ones that it's hard for us as a board to schedule meetings there because they're always full. It is one of those things that it is literally amazing to watch. And if there's an event going on like Rita Palooza or my favorite, Cal Scrabble, there is always things and people down there. So when I kind of talk about the library as being one of those community glues, I'm really sincere about it because it's amazing who all goes. And it's kind of surprising to me the support and where it comes from. I have lunch frequently with a bunch of attorneys on Thursdays. Some of these are pretty right-wing kind of guys and fiscally conservative, and one of them brought up the point about the library and what's the need for the library. And I was surprised. I never had to say a word. Unsolicited, another member of this bunch of guys at lunch said, hey, I took my kids down to the library on Saturday, and it was crowded. It was a happening thing. My kids had a great time. We got great books. It's really the place to go, and it makes me feel good when other people see the value there as well as I do.
And we have don't have time to take the call. Fred in Grants Pass just says you're doing a great job. So the Yellow Envelope campaign goes on till the end of the year?
It does, until December 31st. Mm-hmm. If folks received it in the newspapers, just send it in. If they need one, stop by any of the four libraries and ask for a yellow envelope. And we encourage you to donate what you would have paid in taxes.
All right. Best of luck, Kate Lasky and Pat Fahey from Josephine Community Libraries. Thank you so much for joining us today at the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.